My brothers and sisters, if you'd like to go to my text, that's Luke chapter 2, and this morning I'll just read from verse 8 through to verse 11. Verse 8 to verse 11, Luke chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to be able to preach from this text this morning. Like I said, I'm going to cut my sermon straight and hard. But concerning our text, I've given the following headings to my sermon: Christ is the Savior, Christ is a divine Savior, the Savior is Lord, Christ's birth is good news, and Jesus is a thorough Savior, and then Jesus is a Savior from particular sins. Now, I'm not going to touch on that this morning, but I'm just telling you so that you can see that that is actually my text there. So let's read these words from the Word of God. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." May the Lord bless his precious and infallible word to our hearts this morning. Congregation, this morning I want to speak to you about Christmas. This reminds me a lot of Worcester. When I was in South Africa, I advertised in this town and I said I'm going to address the subject of Freemasonry. And the building just filled up. Half of them were Freemasons. And afterwards I got death threats. They wanted to stone me. They really hated me. But it's a subject that I think is very important and I want you to listen to very carefully. Admittedly, this is not an easy thing to do, because we are snowed down under a century of tradition and nostalgia that it is almost impossible for some people to look at the issue of Christmas objectively in any way. And so I'm asking you this morning as God's people to put aside, please, just for 40 minutes, 35 minutes, your preconceived notions temporarily, and to look honestly at the institution that we call Christmas. Some people argue that Christmas isn't about the season, but it's about the birth of Christ. And so they, in a very pious way, want to reform Christmas Day. And they say, let us put Christ back into Christmas. Now that sounds wonderful, but I'm telling you, to say something like this is a mark of ignorance. The world doesn't want to put Christ back into Christmas any more than it wants to put Christ back into the Christian Sabbath. And even better, I believe that Christ doesn't want to be put back into Christmas, because Christmas is a pagan festival. In Amos chapter 5 verse 21, God says, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs." But this is what he wants. He says, "But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream." In Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 2, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them, for the custom of the peoples are futile." Well, perhaps Christmas is for you a blind spot that needs some re-examination. And so as your pastor, I'm appealing to you to be honest with the Word of God. I'm not denying that there is a spirit of goodwill that lasts for a few days. I'm not denying that it's a season when people try and be nice to each other. But congregation, what is the true meaning of Christmas? In other words, what is the nature of the institution itself? And I think that you will be shocked to truthfully evaluate the institution of Christmas. To start with, my brothers and sisters, realize that Christmas was never celebrated by any Reformed, Protestant, or Presbyterian church. And that nowhere in the Bible are we called to celebrate Christmas. The Westminster Directory of Public Worship outright condemns Christmas. It says, and I'll quote, "Touching days and places for public worship, there is no day commanded in Scripture to be kept holy under the gospel, but the Lord's Day, which is the Christian Sabbath. Festival days, vulgarly," see, this is vulgar, this is an abomination, "called holy days, having no warrant in the Word of God, and are not to be continued." That's the Westminster Directory of Public Worship. And it's only in the last 300 years that the Protestant churches have begun to embrace Christmas. And today, sadly, it has become part of our worship. That's how far we have backslidden from the Word of God. We have no scriptural evidence that the disciples ever celebrated the birth of Christ. And so, why should we? History reveals that in 440 AD, the church in Jerusalem commenced to celebrate this day following Roman Catholic practice. Christmas, which is another word for Christmas, Christmas associates Christmas with the Romanish Mass, which is an Antichrist practice. And so the world is celebrating Christmas, and yet at the same time, 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So why would the devil want to worship the birth of Jesus Christ? And so here's the big question we need to answer. Listen carefully. If Christmas is biblical, if Christmas is something that God wants the church to do, then why does the world love Christmas? I want to say that again. If Christmas is biblical, if Christmas is something that God wants the church to do, then why does the world love Christmas? Why do homosexuals and Buddhists and the Hollywood elite and lesbians and communists and the heathen of all sorts love Christmas? And the answer is because it's not biblical, because it is syncretic. If Christmas was commanded by God, listen carefully, if Christmas was commanded by God, then pagans would not love it. They will not obey it. And that's why the world hates the Christian Sabbath and profanes it. The same people that celebrate Christmas, you'll never find in the house of God on a Sunday, because God has ordained and commanded us to meet together on this day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, the natural man, that's the person who's not saved, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But because Christmas is unbiblical, the world loves Christmas. God's word says, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God, and that whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. 1 John 2:15. And so, brothers and sisters, consider what you are saying when you say to people, Merry Christmas. The word merry means to be happy. It means to be joyful. It means to be lighthearted. Merry. It fits into the ambience of laughter and frivolity. The word merry by itself is innocent and innocuous. It's harmless. But when used with the word Christmas, it becomes blasphemous. Why? Well, let me explain. The word Mass, Christ Mass, Christmas, in religious usage means a death sacrifice. The impact of this is horrifying and shocking. For when the millions of people are saying Merry Christmas, they are literally saying, Merry Death of Christ. Furthermore, when the fat man in the red suit laughs boisterously and says, Ho, 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 Merry Christmas, he is mocking and laughing at the suffering and bleeding Savior who died for our sins. He does this while parents place their little children into his waiting arms to hear his false promises of gifts that he says he will give to them. What congregation is so amusing about our Savior's painful death? What is so funny? Why is Santa laughing? And why are you going along with it? Your words do count, and Satan knows it. Yes, the word Mass in Christ Mass does mean death sacrifice. That's a fact. I'm not making this up. On page 537 of the Catholic Encyclopedia, it says, in the Christian law, the supreme sacrifice is that of the Mass. That's the Catholic Encyclopedia. It goes on to say, the supreme act of worship consists essentially in an offering of a worthy victim to God, the offering made, and I quote, by a proper person such as a priest. Please note, brothers and sisters, carefully that the word here is the victim of the Mass. The Latin word for victim is hostia, from which the word host is derived. And the Mass, by definition, is a sacrifice. In other words, involving a victim. And there is no other meaning in this world for the word Mass or Christ Mass. On page 110 on a book entitled The Mass in Slow Motion, we find the following words. It is only with the consecration that the sacrifice of the Mass is achieved. In essence, the Mass is the ceremonial slaying of Jesus Christ over and over again, followed by the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood. The Mass is the death sacrifice, and the host is the victim. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the official Roman Catholic doctrine. And Christ Mass is a word that they invented. Now, let's just look at the origin of Christmas. Listen to me carefully, please. Christmas does not find its origin in the Bible, and it only started after the 3rd century. It can be traced back to the Babylonian mysteries. Most of the ancient customs are related to Babylon in different ways. In the New Testament, Babylon is depicted as the Church of Rome. She is the great harlot of fornications. In 331 AD, the Emperor Constantine supposedly adopted the Christian faith. But he retained all the traditional pagan activities and names of the old Roman gods. And the method of Christianity, became the Roman Catholic Church, which is a compromise with paganism. Consider some of the customs of the church. Why do we choose December the 25th? Well, Babylon, way before the birth of Christ, celebrated this day as the day when, the days began to lengthen after the winter solstice. It was called Saturnalia. And this symbolized for the Babylonians the victory of their sun god. You see, and we read about that in 2 Kings. And then there's the name Christmas. Christmas is a combination of Christ and Mass. Christmas is a particular celebration of the Roman Catholic Church in honor of the birth of Christ. And at its heart, the Roman Catholic Mass is a denial of the sufficiency of Christ's atoning work. You know that from Scripture. It professes to be a reenactment of the sacrifice of Christ for sin. It is a denial of the gospel. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. It doesn't have to be repeatedly sacrificed by a priest. Hebrews 10 verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified, that's the will of Christ, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is in stark contradiction to Mass. What about the trees? We love our trees, don't we? Well, trees were used by worshippers from ancient times, by the Norsemen, the Celts, and the Saxons. They used trees to ward off evil spirits. What about the season of Christmas? Tradition tells us that at the time of Jesus Christ's birth, now, I'm just quoting professional sources. The sheep were still out in the field. That's why the shepherds were out there, showing that winter had not yet commenced and that it couldn't have been after the month of October. Winter is from October to April, when no flocks are out in the field. Nowhere, my brothers and sisters, in Scripture are we called to commemorate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not seen fit to make the date known to us, and therefore is not to be remembered and celebrated. Paul says, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him after the flesh no more. 2 Corinthians 5:16. In other words, as God's people, we are called to know Christ spiritually. Notice, rather, that we are commanded to remember him in his death without a date. To commemorate Jesus Christ's death any day of the year is scriptural. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross. Not the birth, except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 verse 14. We find, brothers and sisters, no salvation in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the salvation was only made possible through his death. Our faith is in the cross and not in the birth. And then there's the nativity scene. The nativity scene contains all the pagan practices and is a very misconstrued picture of the truth. In Babylon, the Queen of Heaven gave birth to her son, who was thought to be the incarnation of the Son. And long before Jesus Christ's birth, the birth of the sun god took place on the winter solstice of December the 25th. Yule was the Babylonian name for a child. And Yule Day was celebrated on the 25th of December. This is plain historical fact. What about Santa Claus? Is he a harmless, jolly, fat fellow? Or has he become an anti-Christian figure? Think about it. Isn't it interesting, my brothers and sisters, that the Japanese from Japan have elevated Santa to the rank of deity and given him an equal place among the seven gods of good luck? What about the giving of gifts? I don't have much to say about that, but we know that this has become a very perverted practice. Nowadays, this giving and receiving of gifts puts tremendous pressure on people because you're competing. If someone gives you a gift worth that amount, you can't just give the person a small little gift as a token of goodwill. They also expect a good gift or even a better gift. People spend hundreds of dollars and yet they give nothing to the cause of the gospel or the mission. What about the revelry and the debauchery and the drunkenness that takes place with Christmas? You see, we need to ask ourselves this question. Are the traditions of Christmas harmless? Honestly, are they harmless? The question is answered by considering how the devil deceives us. He uses subtle devices, harmless, fun, to get us into idolatry. Is it right, my brothers and sisters, to put Christ into a pagan festival? What is your witness when you celebrate a false day? Our obligation, according to the Word of God, is to be consistent in obeying all of what the Bible teaches. And that's why there is no persecution in the persecution of Christians today, because of compromise. Why does the world not hate the church? Because we're not challenging them. Because we become like the world. We have taken on all their festivals and we become just like them. So you can't distinguish between the pagan festival and the church and Christianity. What is, my brothers and sisters, the celebration of the birth of Christ about? And I'll come to my text. Well, I want us to consider our text because hopefully you'll see how opposite the incarnation is to the spirit of Christmas. First of all, from our text, we see that Christ is the Savior. See, this is what we're celebrating. Christ is the Savior. Verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." This is the essence of Christ's life work. He is the Savior. Jesus may be to you a wonderful person, and you might put his teaching on a par with Socrates or Confucius. But if he is not your Savior, then you have missed the pearl of great price. In Luke 19 verse 10, we read there, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He has come to save from sin. Jesus has come. The incarnation is because of sin. The Lord has come to save us from God's wrath and from the judgment of God. Behind Christmas, my brothers and sisters, is a very, very dark side. Behind the white Christmas and all the snow and the glitter that the world presents, I could mention to you, and I could actually preach on it, what about all the children that Herod had killed? What about the unhygienic stench of a stable in which Jesus was born? What about a dark night? What about the indifferent population in Jerusalem? But behind this is even a greater evil. What's that? It's called sin. 1 John 3:5. He was manifest to take away, that's why he came, our sins. People who embrace Christmas without repentance do not understand the heinousness of sin. The true beauty of Christmas is to understand the ugliness of sin that Christ cures. Sin damns every soul to hell. Because of sin, there is hatred and war and unrest and disharmony and violence and abuse and rape. Sin turns beauty into deformity. Sin kills everybody. Sin hates Jesus Christ. It spits on the Messiah. It says, crucify him, away with him. In scripture, sin is compared to the venom of a serpent and the stench of a grave. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is living in rebellion. Sin denies Jesus Christ's lordship. Sin is living beyond the boundaries that God has set. Sin is both a defection and a defiling. Sin is a pollution. Sin makes the person's heart black. Sin makes God its enemy. Sin is defying God. And so the question we must ask ourselves is this. What kind of homage does the unbeliever then want to pay to God as a sinner? And the truth is that if your sins are not taken away, honestly, you have no reason to be merry. Then I want to touch on the second point quickly because I've still got a few minutes. Christ is not only a Savior, he's a divine Savior. In verse 21b of our text it says, you shall call his name Jesus. That means Jehovah saves. The angel does not only declare that he is a Savior, but he's a divine Savior. Joshua. Yahshua. Joshua transliterated into the Greek, Yeshuas, and into the English, Jesus. And only Jesus can save a soul. Only Jesus can redeem a soul. In Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But I want you to notice, my brothers and sisters, the shepherd's response to this message compared to Christmas. In Luke chapter 2 verse 18 it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Literally, they quaked when they saw the angels. The King James Version says they were sore afraid. In Greek, phobon megan. In other words, they were mega scared. Their response, fear. Fear is something that every human being experiences when they encounter the holy. And that's why the angels respond to the shepherds by saying, fear not. Verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. You see, that which is holy is completely alien and separate to our nature. By nature, God's holiness is fearful to us. It's like when paper comes into contact with fire, it is automatically consumed. And even the angel's presence was overbearing and threatening to the shepherds. Because verse 9 reads, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Now, that word stood in Greek means to assault and to overtake. And so the silent night becomes a fearful night because of God's holy presence. Confrontation with the holy is never associated with Christmas carols or with a serene series of events. Throughout the Bible, people tremble when they come face to face with God. Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush. Moses hid his face and he was afraid even to look at God. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah the prophet says, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm finished. Daniel 10, a hand touched me which made me tremble on my knees. And now we celebrate this God with merriment. Why? Because Christmas has defaulted to the Santa Claus God. This grandfatherly Santa Claus who gives gifts to people and he winks at sin. The world exalts their God as long as they can keep him under a tree. As long as they can present him romantically as a baby in the manger. But you do not dare try and tell the world about the cross. But here is the heart of the truth about the advent of Christ. Notice what the angel says in verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, the antidote to fear is to have the Savior. We don't have to be afraid if our sins are taken away, because that is what the Savior does. He takes away our sin so that we don't have to face the wrath and the judgment of a holy God. How can you rejoice if you know He's your judge? How can you rejoice if you know He's going to send you to hell? And this is exactly what the world is rejoicing in. And so I skip 5 pages and I come to my conclusion. The question is, can you have a Christian Christmas? Listen to me. Can you have a Christian Christmas? The religious aspects are the worst part of Christmas. In Christmas, we are made to see the stark contrast between cultural religion and biblical faith. Christmas promotes an imitation gospel that actually keeps the world from understanding the true gospel. Christmas presents a substitute gospel that the world can easily live with. To the world, the Christmas message is simply love, peace, and the spirit of giving, and the feeling of goodwill. And this stripped-down gospel is used by Satan to give the world just enough inoculation to prevent them from understanding the true gospel. The world loves Christmas because Christmas promotes a sentimental picture of a baby in a manger. Christmas keeps Jesus as a baby in the manger. Jesus is misrepresented by Christmas. The gospel is misrepresented by Christmas. Christmas is the one time that an ungodly person can be religiously safe. Think about that. Religiously safe. Most people like to do something religious every once in a while to ease their conscience and to convince themselves that they really are not such a bad person after all. And it's perfectly safe for the most pagan person to join in with the Christmas spirit. You can have the Christmas spirit without having the Holy Spirit, without having the mind of Christ. The very popularity of Christmas should cause the Christian to question it. Even Buddhists join in the celebration of Christmas. You can rest assured that if God commanded December the 25th to be a holy day, then the world would not observe it. The Lord has commanded the Christian Sunday as a holy day and a day in which Christians together celebrate the incarnation, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does the world observe the Lord's Day? Of course not. Most people desecrate the Lord's Day, and yet somehow they have great delight to be found in the Christmas celebration. The real question is this. Can you sincerely this morning, my brothers and sisters, as a child of God, say to your Lord, concerning this issue of Christmas, have your own way, O Lord. In Jude chapter 3, we are reminded to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And as I said to you, none of the disciples celebrated the incarnation. In Ephesians 5 verse 11, Paul writes and he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now I want to close with a few words from Spurgeon. Spurgeon says, we do not believe in the present ecclesiastical celebration called Christmas, because we do not believe in any mass at all, but abhor it, whether it be sung in Latin or in English. How dare we think that we can give God thanks in the spirit of the world? With the deceptive Santa Claus and a mixed program of sacred truth with fun, deception and fiction. High Episcopalian Church may have their Christmas Day one in 365. But we have a Christ gift the entire year. Those who follow the custom of observing Christmas follow not the Bible, but pagan ceremonies. Amen.